Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of July 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll explore why the markets continue to move higher. We'll do that with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, despite the fact that there are really some fundamental conditions, including last week's USDA reports, in the face of this move that suggest it should go the other direction. There must be some reasons why, and the weather, of course, is one of those driving factors. Mark Russo will be here, too. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll check the ag news and hear from the folks at the Andersons about the cash grain situation on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. July corn today up 7.5 cents at $3.78. September 388.5, 7.5 higher. December up 7.25 at $3.99.25. March corn up 7 at 408.25. Next year's May at 413.5, 6.5 cents higher. July soybeans up 22.5 cents at $9.64.75. August 970 up 23. September 23 higher at 973.5. And November beans $9.80.75. That's the new crop. Up 26 cents. January up 25 at 987.5. Bean oil 20 cents higher at 33.13. In the July, August up 20 at 33.24. Bean meal up $7.50 at $311.90. And the wheat futures finished the soft red 25.75 higher at $5.36.75. September at 5.55 up 29. Hard red July up 30 at $5.41.25. Everything led higher by the spring wheat out of Minneapolis. July contract there at $8.12, up 44.25. Live cattle futures in Chicago, August down 55 cents at $115.75. October at $114.75, down 45. And the feeders down $1.82.5 at $146.10. Lean hogs for the day finished 7.5 cents higher at $90.70. August at $84.40. Up 65 cents. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up online or listen to us as a podcast in Stitcher, iTunes, and the NPR One app.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services created specifically for the cooperative's member owners to meet the needs of rural America, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, point-of-sale financing, and risk management options, helping farm families succeed today and tomorrow.
Here, what some of the other markets are trading like. August crude oil, about 72 cents a barrel higher, $46.76. Ethanol futures around 7 tenths higher at $1.51.6. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.51, 2.7 cents higher. And gasoline on the RBOB, a penny and 3 tenths higher at $1.52.7. Natural gas down 7.1 at $2.96.4. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now 126 points higher. That's at 21,426 at this time. U.S. dollar at 95.94. It's up 0.519 on the afternoon. Gold futures for the day trading at $1,218.30 or down $22.40. Let's take a look now at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see those hot temperatures stick around for quite a while this week. By the way, we're going to a high today of 87 degrees, and then this evening, partly cloudy skies, a stray shower, thunderstorm is possible, low of 66, winds out of the east at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, partial cloudiness, a 40% chance of rainfall, maybe 800ths of an inch, 90 degrees per high. Tomorrow evening, a few clouds, a stray shower, low of 68. Wednesday, partly cloudy, will go to 88. And Wednesday night, scattered thunderstorms, 80% chance, 3/10 of an inch, maybe as much as 4/10. So we'll drop to a low of 70 degrees on Wednesday night. And we'll have more on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon, the third day of July. Kurt Kimmel is now here. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Wow, what a couple of trading days we've had. USDA reports on Friday, Kurt, looked bearish when they came out. The market decided that wasn't the case, or at least that the weather wasn't the case, one of the two. And they began to march higher, and they continued that today, though by the end of the close, they backed off some. What can you tell me about how things were moving throughout the data on this Monday?
Yeah, we saw buying right out of the chute on Sunday evening's trade. In fact, the bean market gapped higher and held that gap. Corn left a gap. If you take Friday's high at 93 3/4, then this Monday's low here at 94 1/4, you know, we got something for the technicians to talk about here as we move on. But fundamentally, Friday we just did not see a big bearish surprise, and without seeing a big bearish surprise for say, gave the market the next focus, which is weather. And the weather in the Western Belt continues to be a problem. The weather here in the Eastern Belt, you know, too wet in some areas and too dry in some areas. And the possibility of seeing this ridge move a little bit east kept the trade on the offensive. Wheat continues to be the leader. Old Mike, you know, spent all winter long talking about wheat, and finally wheat's leading the whole complex higher. So we'll be watching the weather maps plus this wheat market and see if this thing continues to move higher when we resume trade 8:30 Wednesday morning.
It's one thing to have the spring wheat move higher, especially under the conditions they're growing there in the parts of the Dakotas and Montana, where most of that crop is put into the ground. Very dry there, drought conditions. And they're talking about, you know, some folks not really being able to harvest anything up there. So it's certainly entirely different when the rest of the complex not only follows along, but follows pretty closely. Wheat and hard red, soft red and hard red both decided to go. And it looks like it's more than just following along with the spring wheat. They're concerned with either one or both of those crops. Are there good fundamental reasons for that to be the case?
Well, like one guy said, some areas the wheat harvest is wrapped up. It was wrapped up in one bale, so it's a little thin in some areas there. But what happens is in the wheat, and I'm not a big wheat guy, but we're going to see a shift in covering each wheat need, for say. There's protein quality and so forth, milling. But what we're doing is taking the so-called excess wheat, the feed wheat, out of the equation. And with these higher wheat prices, feed for corn comes into a little bit more of a play in here. So we're seeing a little shift in the fundamental feed demand, for say, and that sort of not only tightens up the supply-demand balance sheet on the wheat crop, but it also tightens the supply-demand balance sheet up slightly on the corn side of the equation too. So a lot of moving parts here, a lot of market activity still in front of us yet, Todd.
On that note, for the fundamental side, acreage for corn, as released by USDA, showed nearly another million acres, something like 900,000 more in the United States than farmers intended to plant when they were talking to USDA back in March. That didn't seem to make a lot of difference. And the USDA's grain stocks numbers were on the high end of what the trade thought was going to be in the bin at this point. This third quarter grain stocks report, though, tends to be a little wonky, as some would say. So we have some time to figure it all out, but the fundamentals for corn don't look all that great, other than if you look forward into the new crop and what's being planted in terms of weather across the Midwest. How do you view it all?
Yeah, that there was one analyst out there that way before the report said that corn acreage could possibly go up, and they were fairly well nailed it there on some of the shifts, especially the Dakotas there, North Dakota, an extra 400,000 acres. Intentions, that is. Now the key is the harvested acres. you know, particularly the Western Belt, whether that's actually going to be grain or silage. We'll see how that unfolds there. But old crop fundamentals sort of played its hand out here. We had the market lower into July option expiration. Also, too, we were lower into end of the month here, and guys squared away some of these basis contracts. And we'll have more information in here whether they rolled those or went ahead and liquidated the cash grain itself. So that'll be the key here as we move into July, see how much more grain needs to move. As a whole in here, the confirmation, there's still plenty of old crop grain around, but whenever you get in a weather market or a speculative buying market, you know, things change. It makes the trade very, very volatile, and that volatility is going to stay here for another 30 to 45 days.
And what did the USDA numbers tell you for soybeans on Friday, and how do you see that market moving forward?
Well, mainly the expectations. The expectations on the acreage report would see some additional bean acreage. They did not show, you know, a big increase in bean acreage. Some of the trade was looking for an additional million acres of beans over time. Well, if you got a yield of 48 bushels to the acre and you don't get that extra acreage, then you don't see these bean carry out estimates going much higher above this 490 or 500 million bushel, particularly when you look at old crop demand being relatively strong compared to what some of the trade believes, and you look at that smaller old crop carryout moved into this new crop carryout, that sort of keeps a lid on this carryout near this 490, 500 million bushel benchmark.
Two important things will be happening. We'll begin trade again Wednesday. Do you think we'll follow through with the upside on the corn and soybeans? And then, of course, the WASDE figures are due out next week.
Depending on weather, and it's very volatile to go over an extra day or two and not see any trade take place, but I would imagine we'd try to follow through. I would think the funds would be on the offensive there on Monday here. They were buyers of 16,000 bean contracts and over 15,000 corn contracts going into midday. This is kind of day two. Friday was day one, Monday day two. Wednesday could be day three because they often do these spurts in three-day increments.
And then livestock side of the marketplace, anything to talk about?
Oh, hogs actually held in there fairly well. You know, expectations of larger farrowings, more numbers down the road. I think the pork demand continues to remain strong. Saw a lot of spread activity buying hogs and selling cattle. So we feel the hog market could probably hold in there for another few weeks yet.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you in 1 week.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the Popular Conservation Reserve Program came under criticism on Capitol Hill last week for outbidding cash rent rates on productive farmland, idling some whole farms, and challenging beginning farmers. CRP is a mainstay in the toolbox of conservation programs, and producers want more of it in the next farm bill, but the program may be hurting producers as well, according to senators now preparing to write that bill. Iowa's Joni Ernst told USDA officials at a recent hearing that one of her constituents wrote her that high CRP cash rents were undermining his operation.
And in one instance, he was outbid by over $100 per acre by the government. The same thing happened to one of his sons in 2016, who lost 80 acres of land to a pollinator program where he had recently installed a center pivot irrigation system.
Ernst says she's heard similar stories from others where the government is outbidding cash rental rates on productive farmland. She says instead of idling whole farms, working land conservation programs should target marginal lands. But the Farm Service Agency's conservation director, Misty Jones, says programs like CRP can be highly incentivized.
We generally see larger tracts of land, more whole fields in that regard. But we also have our continuous practices, which are smaller They are highly incentivized in order to make the opportunity there for the farmer to invest and put those conservation practices in place.
A National Resources Conservation official echoed the theme that USDA tries to make conservation work for the farmer, but Jones says USDA also runs a transition incentive payments program that gives retiring farmers an extra 2 years of CRP rental payments if they transition land to beginning farmers. Ernst argues retiring farmers are taking more productive acres out of production, and that is a threat, she thinks, to beginning farmers. Well, let's stay with CRP, relatively speaking, but we'll move from Iowa to North Dakota, where farmers recently gathered to discuss the drought conditions in their state. Sarah Heinrich has more.
It's standing room only as more than 100 farmers and ranchers from across North Dakota gather to voice their concerns about the extremely dry conditions. The North Dakota Department of Agriculture held a drought roundtable in Mandan. Alan Lund ranches in Sioux County and explains the devastation in his area.
The stock dams are looking poor. Our pasture's holding up yet, but you can tell everything's browning up. The only crops we do is we planted sorghum stand grass about 3 weeks ago, and it's just kind of peaking up a little bit, but that's it. You know, it's not growing. I see wheat fields burning up, and we had some really good corn down in our area, but today I see the leaves are turning yellow.
Kevin Sedevecht with the Range Science Department at NDSU travels the state and says many producers are selling cows.
Much of the West, I mean the North Central, the Northwest, the Southwest in particular, are sitting at about 30% of normal precip, and I've talked to some producers who are looking at about 15% of normal hay crops. So it's really tough shape in terms of not only pasture growth, but also hay production has been really low.
Ag Commissioner Doug Goring is concerned for the livelihoods of these farmers and ranchers.
I'm expecting some ranchers to probably disperse their herds, and I can only be hopeful that they'll come back into the business. But the reality is some of these are getting close to retirement. They may not want to start over. I think the other thing that is so devastating for some of our ranchers is the fact that they spent decades and generations building these herds up. Now when you disperse them, why would you want to start over? I've heard some say that. And when you see people's lips quivering, you see their body language and how they're shaking, they really have no place else left to turn.
USDA has authorized emergency grazing on CRP acres in Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota. The Ag Commissioner says he doesn't expect USDA to open up CRP land for haying in the near term, but will continue to push for it to be opened. Sarah Heinrich.
Our thanks, of course, go to Sarah Heinrich. She came to us courtesy of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, where she is a member. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That wraps up the agricultural news for the day. A couple of quick items. The trade this afternoon ended at the noon hour, and it won't begin again until 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, so no overnight trade on July the 4th, and nothing, of course, during the day or this evening for the July 4th trade day. Again, Wednesday morning at 8:30 will be the next set of agricultural trade. The crop progress reports from the United States Department of Agriculture are delayed as well. They will not be released this afternoon, but will come out at 3 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. Hey, this is the Closing Market Report on the third day of July. We're now joined by Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. First, kind of give me your broad overview and some context of what's happened in the market over the last couple of trading days.
I think the biggest thing has been the focus on obviously the hard red spring wheat out in the Dakotas and the Great Plains and the hot temperatures and the lack of precip. That's kind of led the charge here, even going back the last week. And obviously with the government's report causing the soybean market a little bit of off guard on Friday with not seeing that increase in of 1 million acres and relatively unchanged from March, I think added to the tone of beans rallying. And as we've gone through the weekend, again, it's all about weather. Overnight, the maps were hot and dry for the plains again, and I think that kind of led the charge early. Midday, some model runs started to show some cooler temperatures, and that's thus we backed off our highs, specifically in corn. Corn was up 15 to 16 cents at its peak and finished up, you know, roughly 4 cents. So the weather's going to dictate now, without a night session tonight nor a all-day trading session or night session tomorrow. We won't open again until Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning. So again, the changing weather models will have a big impact for what direction we trade here in the next day or so.
So we know when we see the weather forecast, and we'll hear from Mark Russo a bit in just a couple of minutes here. But what I've seen so far is that those weather forecasts for the Dakotas, North Dakota, and Montana in particular, the spring wheat growing regions, are for them to continue to have hot, dry weather. That's not out of the norm once they start a drought, as our Friday analyst told us in his morning report, and that would be Eric Snodgrass from this morning, that once they're in drought, they kind of stay that way. Can they lead the rest of the market for very long with spring wheat?
I think it can. If you go back to the last time we ran into this issue, even 2011-12, going back to 08, I don't think anybody thinks that today wheat prices are going to explode up into the upper teens to $20 a bushel, but certainly back then wheat could lead the charge. And I think with the speculative investor and its buying power there, we can certainly continue to be dragged higher in corn and beans if wheat wants to run. But again, I think the fact that the temperatures have started to lighten up a little bit will cause a little bit of pause in how much we want to really put weather premium wise here for a minute into the corn and bean complex.
And what do you see for the weather forecast for the Midwest and conditions for corn and soybeans?
Yeah, I think relatively you'll probably see a little bit of a decline from the Western Corn Belt states on Wednesday when the crop progress is released for the good to excellent ratings. But overall, the East has good chances of precip here in the next few weeks, and I think that bodes well. It's really west of the Mississippi that doesn't have a good shot, as good a shot of moisture and potentially battling some heat. So that kind of will be your direction with the river dividing as it usually does the haves and have-nots.
Old crop corn, then, do producers need to take advantage and make sales?
We have seen some of that, and I would agree that now it's time to sell into the rally on some of the old crop corn that they're still carrying. We know that that's kind of the focal point for most producers' minds, so being able to at least only stay long one commodity, that being new crop, is probably an approach in this type of environment. Use these rallies as an opportunity to reduce your risk exposure on the old crop side.
New crop soybeans have rallied dramatically over the last two trading sessions. Reasons to sell there?
I think right now the market obviously is pushing up based on the information we receive with the acreage. But until we really get to see August weather, I think it's going to be hard to sustain upward momentum in soybeans, just given the fact that we've planted 89.5 million acres, which is plenty, with a decent yield. And it's going to take a big drop in that yield projection to justify prices above $10. So I think if most producers have done a very good job back in the winter months when prices were above 10, getting on good coverage. And if you're there, I think you can be patient. But I would use a stair-step approach if you're not, say, to 40 or 50% sold on your bean production here at 980 or above to start layering in some more sales.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good. Have a happy fourth, Todd.
Oh, you too. That, of course, is Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether sending your child to college next year or in 18 years, invest in their future with Busey. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Chocolate Wafer Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Michael Keynes exhibited the first cultivated strawberry, combining size, flavor, and appearance at the Royal Horticultural Society. Europeans discovered wild strawberries in Virginia in 1588. Strawberries, by the way, are the only fruit with its seeds on the outside. In 1922, Fruit Garden and Home magazine was founded. 2 years later, the name of the publication was changed to the name it holds today, Better Homes and Garden. In 1924, Clarence Birdseye, with the financial backing of W. Hodges and others, founded the General Seafood Corporation. In 1929, foam rubber was developed at DuPont Laboratories in Birmingham. British scientist E.A. Murphy used a kitchen mixer to froth natural latex rubber into its foam counterpart. Murphy's colleagues were generally underwhelmed by the material, that is, until they sat on it. By the way, in the early 1950s, Farmall International 100 tractors had seats with tags saying genuine foam rubber to stimulate sales. Foam rubber was replaced by polyurethane in Farmall seats in 1956. And in 1985, the honeybee was designated as the official state insect of Missouri. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this third day of July. The ever-important weather forecast always comes up at this time on our program, and Mark Russo is here this afternoon to take it up for what has been a really exciting couple of days in the trade. A lot of it led by weather, much of it based on what's happening in North Dakota and Montana with the spring wheat. What kind of conditions have they been there under, and what are your expectations?
Well, the Northern Plains is and will continue to be the biggest problem, really, of the major agricultural areas, not only in the nation, but across the world. And bottom line is that there's no sign of any significant relief in the Northern Plains, as the pattern features very hot and dry conditions across that region. You might be asking the question, you know, how dry has it been across the Northern Plains spring wheat area? And quantifying that a little bit better, running the numbers, basically rainfall from April 1st is now the lowest basically on record for the spring wheat acreage as a whole. And so combining that, and actually that surpassed, it actually had been 1997, which was the last time they were that dry, but that has, this year has now surpassed that. And in fact, in 1997, at the end of June, we saw a significant increase in rainfall at this time. And certainly this year is not going that route, as the dry and hot conditions will continue, and that'll continue to keep the Northern Plains being the biggest problem area.
And you fear that that will spread into the Midwest?
That fear is certainly increasing for portions of the Midwest. Obviously, the western Midwest has a higher risk. Now, still the core of heat is going to remain across the Plains region. So, but there will be, again, some movement, some influence at times into the western Midwest. You know, one of the things that we're watching close here is that with the jet stream pattern here coming up, we're going to be getting into a northwest flow jet stream pattern, and that is going to result in overall, you know, well below normal rainfall totals, especially across areas of the western belt. Now, prior to that happening, starting later on this week, there are going to be some opportunities for rain. Actually, over the next few days, there still are these opportunities for rain for the dry sections of the belt. So it's a matter of, can we get these rains in the western belt here? If the areas of Iowa, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, if they don't receive it, then obviously they're going to be turning very dry, and then with the potential for, you know, some heat thereafter as well.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget, the markets are closed tomorrow for the 4th of July Independence Holiday in the United States. They will not open again until 8:30 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday. Also, the USDA reports that are due out on Monday afternoon normally, that would be the Crop Progress Report, won't come out until Wednesday afternoon, so we'll have those numbers on Thursday during the Closing Market Report right here on Illinois Public Media.